O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, beloved Jesus Christ, Blessed Master, dearest Mother, saints and sages of all religions, I bow to all of you. Free my life from all obstacles, and give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home. Be thou the only King, reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Putting up some posts these last few days from Mother in honor of her Mahasamadhi date. And this is from a talk that she gave in 1961, A House Divided. A house divided itself cannot stand. If an earthquake was to take place and all of a sudden this tremendous quake would just sever a house in half, that house would fall. It could not possibly stand. And so it is with all things in life. It is so with human family, with man and his wife. You must be united, family, if you are to stand on the rock of God, of truth. It is so in your business. You cannot have a bad business divided against itself and have a successful business. It is so with a nation. It is so with the world. And that is why we are having so much dissension. Because we are a world divided against ourselves. Now, this is a great truth, what Christ meant when he said this, the body is the temple housing the little self in God. A house divided itself cannot stand means exactly this. This is the temple of the living God. This is where we find him, not outside of ourselves, but right in here. This is our house. And yet, we are a house divided against ourselves because we have the little ego and the God self. We are two selves and not one. And so, therefore, we must fall. And that is the meaning of the passage in the Bible where it says, the wages of sin is death. Because sin is all of that which keeps us separated from God. It is that which takes us away from our true self. And so, because of the fact that we are separated, then we must go through what we know humanly as death. But when we come to the point where we have blended this little self with the God self within us, where we can truly say, I and my Father are one, then we have control over that last enemy, which is death. We learn through the control of the breath as taught by the masters of the East, to have complete control over our body, to come and go at will, even as Christ did. He was constantly going up into the mountain of his own being, and so it is said that breathlessness is deathlessness, and this is so. When you can learn to do without breath and yet remain in full consciousness, when you can learn to come and go from your body at will, then you will have taken death into your arms. And then, when it is time for you to throw off this garment and put on a new one, you sit in the lotus posture and you go into what is called Mahasamadhi, or the final state of leaving the body voluntarily. You are not choked out of the body. You do not go by accident. Your breath is not taken from you, but you go of your own volition in complete peace and comfort. He who has conquered the first death, the Bible says, need not fear the second. It cannot harm you. And reading from Papa Ramdas's mother did each time that she spoke, Grace of a Saint. It is essential for a devotee who is keen upon realizing the infinite love of God to receive the touch and grace of a saint. It is through the transmitting power of an illumined soul that the aspirant is awakened to the reality of his true and higher life, which is union and oneness with God. It is only by such contact that the devotee is able to maintain a continual stream of God remembrance in his mind. A saint is he who is embodiment of divine love, wisdom, and power. He is God himself manifested in flesh and blood. He is at once Guru and God. To adore him is to worship the highest reality dwelling in our hearts. He is the great Redeemer and Savior of all fallen souls. The grace of a saint converts an erring and ignorant mortal into a being full of wisdom, love, and joy. We become that which we constantly contemplate. If we keep a great personal ideal of a saint before us, and through faith and reverence tune our life and spirit with his life and spirit, we are gradually molded into the likeness of the great soul. It must be understood that we should not merely cling to the external form of our accepted spiritual ideal, but we should realize within ourselves the immortal spirit which is revealed in the Guru. In order to receive a saint's grace that transmutes us into the divine, we should fully open ourselves to his regenerating influence. Before the saint, we must be as humble as a blade of grass and as simple and innocent as a child. Our trust and refuge in him must be entire and complete. Given this condition, the saint's grace is sure to pierce through us, destroying the darkness of ignorance and enlighten our hearts with the glory and sublimity of divine love and peace. It is then that the thought of God will permeate our minds so much so that it will send a current of ecstasy coursing through every atom of our physical and psychical being. Love, light, and joy will now radiate through us. We shall realize the presence of God everywhere. We will lose ourselves in the ineffable bliss born of our dwelling totally in the Lord, and ultimately merge our individuality in the cosmic light of our beloved Master, Mother, and Lord, the Supreme Love, who is God. This is the summit of divine attainment, to which man's grace leads the struggling soul. Therefore, let all who aspire for eternal love, bliss, power, and wisdom, seek first the society of saints and by their contact, be reborn into a new life surcharged with an infinite vision. This reading comes from Divine Life by Papa. And how true this is. In my own journey back to God, I was wandering in darkness. And I was somehow unhappy with the things of this world. I couldn't see any light. I couldn't aspire for anything within this world because there was something that just called to me that was beyond this world. What that was, I had no name for. And through my yearning and through different readings, I came to the notion that I really needed to meet somebody, a guru, somebody who knew the way, somebody who was established in God consciousness. But I didn't know how to go about finding one. So I went to different speakers who would travel around and speak at different cities. And whenever they came to the Seattle area, I would listen. And none of them really reached me. None of them really resonated in the way that I was looking for. And then one day, when I was going to college, another person who was also interested in finding a spiritual path, told me that they had heard about somebody. She was kind of a mother or a grandmother type person. Well, that didn't sound like the kind of person that I was interested in. I think I probably thought of a long-haired, bearded yogi from India, something like that. Those are the kind of folks I've been reading about. And I said no, and they said, no, you must come. And so finally I agreed to come. Walked in, and Mother came into the room. And I don't know what I was expecting. She is a beautiful woman and 70 years old, wore kind of a silk-like robe. And she began to speak. And as she spoke, I felt the power of God so strongly in her. I didn't understand everything that she said, but that power of God swept me up. I could feel it. It felt as if my hair, which was long at the time, could just blow straight back. And even at the end, I still don't know if I would have been completely convinced, but at the end of their talk, she gave a hug to everybody. And as I stood in line and I was getting closer, my heart started beating so hard, and I don't even know why. And as I got up, she gave me that hug. And I looked at her, and the next thing I remember was being in the car, the back seat, because I had been driven there. And I felt like I was 1,000 miles away from anybody else. I was completely disconnected from this world. And this world looked like an illusion to me, and I just knew that something powerful had happened. That Guru Shakti had gone out from her and had affected me in a deep and profound way. Now, I wasn't somebody that was easily sold. My doubting mind continued, and I kept wondering whether this is all the truth, whether I didn't want to just learn a philosophy. I just didn't want to start parroting what somebody else said. I wanted to know the truth. I wanted to feel the bliss of God. I was in such a miserable state. And so it was through the agency of Mother that I first came into contact with God in that way. And I had not heard of Paramahansa Yogananda before that. And one night she mentioned that he was her guru and that he had written a book, an autobiography of a yogi. And so while I was standing in line, I asked somebody, I said, well, who's this Yogananda who wrote some autobiography? And they were astounded that I had never heard of him. And so I ordered the book and I read it all the way through. And I was just so thrilled that we come from such a guru lineage as the one that we do. And I continued on. But it wasn't until Mother started me into the mystical crucifixion that one night as I sat in a meditation group and we were focused upon the ajna, or at least I was, and suddenly at the base of my spine there is an eruption, such a powerful snapping, both a sound and a feeling. Nobody on the outside could hear it, but it happened inside of me at the base of my spine. And suddenly this kundalini power came rushing up to my ajna, the point between the eyebrows, came up through my spine, through my head, and just riveted me to the ajna. I couldn't take my attention away from it, even if I had tried. And the heat there was tremendous. And this was the beginning. This was the beginning of that mystical crucifixion. And you have to go through everything that you've ever done in the outward journey. And Mother was there to give me a roadmap, to give me the ways of how to best go directly to God. And if I could have followed her instructions more perfectly, I would have made it in a much quicker time. But as with many of us, I was hit and miss. There's times when I was lifted up and I was focused on God. And then there's other times when there was desire nature, there was fear, there were so many different things that came at me. And I can't say that I did it perfectly all the time. I wish that I could, but I didn't. But through each one of those experiences, it was a test, and I was tested as to whether I would stay sincere, whether I'd stay focused upon God, or whether I'd get swept back into the currents of this world. It happens, you know. People get lifted up into high states of consciousness. And you think they've really attained something, they've really gone someplace. And then suddenly, something takes them over. Excuse me. Something takes them over, some force, some opposition, either a desire nature or a fear of some kind. And they begin to lose steam. They turn themselves in the wrong direction. And it's a terrible thing to see, because I've seen many people that I've had such high regard, high respect for. And they've been seduced away from the path. And then I think, well, why didn't it happen to me? Obviously, I made mistakes on the way up, but somehow there's something inside of me that never turned away from God. Never turned away from God, even though I made mistakes along the way. And this sincerity, this desire for God, is something that I have to say was almost inborn. It was beyond me, because there's times when I did want to turn away. But I never did. I never did. And I can only say that it was the grace of God and Guru. Now, it is difficult to know the true nature of a guru until you have gone into those higher states of consciousness of which they have become a master. You can say, well, this person is a good speaker, or this person, I feel a lot of upliftment when I'm around them. But have they attained that consciousness? Have they attained that stability? In the higher consciousness, many times people are lifted up into an experience. And based on that one experience or a few experiences, they'll go out and they'll write a book. But they haven't really done the work. They haven't gotten there yet. Not fully, not completely. And this is the thing that Mother came to bring to us. Don't give up until you've gone the whole way. As she would say, don't settle for Mr. In-Between. Don't settle for middle management. Go directly to the president of the universe. Go all the way to the top. And this is the greatest advice that we could ever get. You find devotees everywhere who get lackadaisical, who get uninspired. They start out all right. They start out with great fire, great enthusiasm. But this world has a way, when we give it our attention, of drawing us back into it. We have to keep a fired spirit of determination to break loose of the gravity of this earth, the gravity that pulls us through desire nature and through attachment. Because that will be our default. That is what controls our being and our essence now, is that those desire natures come up. And they're difficult when they do. They try to draw you with everything in them. And it's a great power. Master used to talk about that he thought that darkness only existed in the mind until he met evil in this world. And then he came to the conclusion that this creation itself has the opposition force built into it. And this is true. There's everything that's inside of you is also outside of you. And so this world in its current stage, this Dwapara Yuga that we've just entered into, really, is still dominated by much of the Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga is that time of darkness. The Dwapara Yuga is the electrical age, and we enter into a more refined consciousness as a world. Intelligence is quickened. And we have seen that through the advances in science and technology. But you know, much of this technology that is so vaunted these days is actually a substitution for the inner development that we go through when we enter into the higher yugas or the higher stages of consciousness. And when we enter into the Satyuga and we have established our oneness with God, then many of these technologies are just simply not needed. You just dispose of them. And so this is the time of age that we find ourselves in, but any individual can go beyond the age that we're in. We see so much strife. We, as Mother said, we see a house divided against itself in this world. Just think, if everyone in this world were focused on gaining their own God realization, of doing what is true, what is right, being of service to one another. Just think of the world. If everyone that you met was thinking about how they could be of service to you, and that you are thinking about how to be of service to them, and how to serve the light, how to serve the higher consciousness, what a vast transformation this world would go through. That there is plenty in this world. There really is. There's plenty of everything. And there's more. There's things that we haven't even tapped into. And so we go inside of ourselves because this world will not support us in many ways in going into this higher consciousness. Everybody is so focused on the things of the world and attaining things, it's not wrong to do so. But to the exclusion of not seeking God is what makes it a sin, if you want to say that. Because that's what separates us from God. That's what separates us from God. Now these are the truths that Mother came to teach, because she lived them. She was so devoted to Master for so many years, all of her life, really, from the time that she met him. And yet there came a time when he had left the body, Rajasi had left the body, and she knew that there is something to run as for her to go through. She knew that she needed help in doing it. And I think it must be said that she looked around the organization of SRF and found that there was no one there who could guide her in the way that she needed. And when Papa Ram Dass came, she felt God's direction that he would be the one who would take her into the highest consciousness. Now, Master was always her guru. I read something the other day on the internet that said she left Master, but that's not true. There are many within SRF who went to see Anande Moy Ma. They would do so freely. But they found fault with Mother for going to see Swami Ram Dass, this great, great God-man. As Papa says here, you seek out the saints. Even though Papa had his guru, he went to see Ramana Maharshi. And he was chanting God's name constantly. He had left hearth and home. He traveled only with a single piece of cloth and an extra. He had his dentures with him in a little bag. He had a little water lota, and that's about it. He didn't carry any money with him, and he just chanted God's name, and he went as God prompted him to go. And God prompted him to come to Tiruvannamalai. And there he sat in front of the great master, Ramana Maharshi. And he was chanting, and Ramana looked over at Papa, and just for a few moments, their eyes locked, but Papa felt this transmission of tremendous spiritual power. And then he went up onto the hill there at Arunachala. And he, I think it was for 21 days straight, he was chanting God's name day and night, day and night. And then when he came out of that cave, he had the universal vision, what before he felt so greatly inside of himself, the bliss of God, the joy, the light of God. Now he saw permeating everywhere in this world that this entire world was made up of God stuff, was radiating the light and the purity of God wherever he looked. And so this began him on this universal vision journey. But even that wasn't the end. It is said that after he even established the ashram, that he and Mataji at one point had been attacked. And he held some anger about these fellows who had did this. And one day, one of these people came back and admitted his guilt and said he was the one that had attacked them. And somehow that released Papa from this anger about this situation, because Mataji had a lifelong back injury as a result of this attack. And he was able to let it go. And from that moment on, he didn't hold any anger about these people. And he felt that God was in charge of this world. God was working out his will through this entire world. Now, that from a human standpoint, we'd say not everything reflects the divine will in that sense of being of the higher nature, the higher virtue. Mother said there are two ways of being able to look at this world from the human. We look at this world and we see good and bad. We see higher and lower. We see what the right thing is to do, and we can see where we are pulled in the wrong direction. And then there is the universal vision, and in that we see that there is nothing but God and all is God. Now, many times people, from their human perspective, will say, but I can't see this world as God. Look at the evil. Look at the wrong that is done. Look at the suffering. I cannot say that is God. And Papa, I do not think, would disagree with that. The difference is that Papa had paid the price, that he had gone through the experience, that he had been in that uplifted state wherein he saw everything as God. This was an earned experience. It wasn't just a mental concept that he took. Surely he had had that concept before, but he was not able to fully enact it himself. It wasn't until he was lifted up and he saw the vision in that way that he then saw everything as God, every person, every leaf, everything that existed in all creation, all manifesting the divine. Now, when we start out on this path, we start out in a state of individuality. We're separated from God. And so we are told to chant God, to meditate deeply upon God, to do Kriya, and so on. These are the means by which we are able to purify this mind. And then we start to feel God within us. Even as I had that experience of meeting Mother and feeling God so tremendous in her. And every time I would come back to Mother and she would give a talk, and I'd feel that same upliftment, I'd feel that same power. And it would confirm to me that she was who she said that she was. Even though intellectually it took me a long time to catch up with all the things that she was talking about. Sometimes people would listen to Mother after many years, and they'd say, oh, well, I heard that story before, as if that somehow minimized the story. And I remember thinking to myself when I heard that, yes, but I want to keep coming and hearing that very same story until I can listen to that story from the same state of consciousness that Mother is telling that story. Because that's the key, isn't it? It's not about just entertaining the mind. It's not just about coming and learning new information. We inform the mind to this degree that we can get it oriented towards our spiritual sadhana, our spiritual practice. And once we've given enough information to the mind to do that, then really the rest of it is all just carrying out that practice until the mind is so purified that it sees nothing but God within and without, the universal vision. Mother attained that universal vision in the early 1970s. Now, it's a long, arduous path, and she has assured us that we will not have to go through everything that she went through. She came to go through this to reestablish original Christianity. She brought those teachings into the light of realization. In the past, so oftentimes, it's been seen as historical, and its value is in seeing one man who came, who manifested God on this earth. But the real truth is that Jesus came to teach all mankind that they can become one with God. Now, this was considered blasphemy then. And if you were to go to most churches today, they would consider it blasphemy now. Now, they may not put you on a wooden cross and nail you to it, but they might throw you out the door. They wouldn't appreciate you because they see it only for one individual. But this is a start, isn't it? At least they can see it for one individual. He's introduced this idea. Now, it would be far better for it to be consciously sought out by all Christians everywhere, that they really follow in the footsteps of the Christ as Jesus asked them to do, that they seek out the kingdom of heaven that is to be found within you as he said it was, that this cross bled and that this cross suffered, it says in the Bible. But of course, a wooden cross cannot bleed nor can it suffer, as Mother told us. This is this human body, and when you stand with your feet together and your arms outstretched, you're in the form of a cross. And why is this particularly symbolic? Because when you start on this mystical crucifixion, it starts here in the heart center. And that is surely where Mother started with me, because my heart was closed. I remember one day, one night, we went to a new restaurant. There's a group of us, I think maybe a dozen or 15 or so. It's a large group. We were sitting around a table. And Mother had this capacity when we were in a group that she could just speak to one person. It was like a bubble would go around her and the other person. And you couldn't even hear them. I tried to eavesdrop at times, and I couldn't even do it. But this night was to be my night, and she surrounded me with this bubble, and she looked at me deeply, and she said, "Why don't you love me completely?" And I knew exactly what she was speaking of, because I had a great feeling. She was probably, I would say at that time, she was the most important person in my life. But I knew that I had closed my heart off at an earlier time. And I struggled for 2 weeks as to whether I would take that risk to open my heart again. And it was a real struggle, and I finally decided at the end that it was worth it, because she told me, if you cannot love completely, you cannot have God. And so I decided to take that risk, that it was worth the risk, especially if I was going to deny being able to have God. And that started me into the heart center, and I read about St. Francis, I read about Ramakrishna, and these two great saints that were so much of love, and that was something that started to awaken inside of me. And then I felt this tremendous pressure in my heart, tremendous pain there. And every night when I went up on the hilltop and I'd meditate looking out over the city, and I'd feel that pain in my heart. And I just wanted it to break open, just to burst open, just felt like a seed that was bursting at the seams, but it wouldn't burst. And then one night Jesus came to me in a vision. And he told me that he was the groom and I was the bride. And it was thrilling to have this vision of this great master. It felt as if I could reach out and touch his body. It was so real to me. And so there's the next night that finally, this heart burst open, and this love, this divine love, surpassed far by far anything that I experienced before that, came flowing out through me. And it flowed out to all this world, and I felt like I was in a sea of love, that the air itself, the trees, the rocks, everything around me was filled with this sea of love. Now, unless you've had this experience, these will only be words. But they're true words. It was a true experience. One of the things that has surprised me in following Mother and going on this path is how powerful things are, how powerful experiences are. They're not just like ephemeral. They're not like you can't quite touch it or quite see it. It happens very powerfully through me. Every day I have this crown of thorns. It is this tremendous heat and pressure at the top of my head, and every day it's there. And God is performing some particular work through this form. Either that or I was a very, very bad person, and I've had to suffer for a long time for it. But I think, as God has told me inside, that he's doing a particular work through this form by having it manifest in this way. And there's no guesswork about it. There's nothing I can tell you exactly through that stream in the spine and how it goes through the brain. I can trace it even in this moment. I feel it going all the way to the ajna, and then up to the sahasrara, and from the top of the crown chakra out into all space, unencumbered. And it's a living experience for me even as I speak. Now, none of this would have been possible if Mother had not come into my life, if she had not instigated it, if she had not guided me. She had not brought me into the state of consciousness. So whatever it is that I have attained in God, I can put at her feet. And that she also took me to Swami Satchidananda. And perhaps in a similar way that, not quite the same way, but in a similar manner, Swami Satchidananda was my second spiritual mother, and he helped me tremendously in attaining higher states of consciousness and becoming established in them. And I cannot thank him enough for that. Now, Mother was the one who brought us to Anandashram. And through that, through Swami Satchidananda, who she spoke so highly of, in all of her experiences there, she just had tremendous love for this great God-man. Now, it all brings tears to my eyes, just thinking of the great love and gratitude that I feel for Mother, that I feel for Swami Satchidananda, for Master, for Papa, and you go right on up the line. Sri Yukteswarji, Larhi Mahasya, Babaji. If these great masters had not made the effort themselves to enter into God realization, if they had not been the beneficiaries of students who had come to them and helped to lift them up and lead them into a new way, new consciousness, a transformation, a total transformation from the human to the divine, then none of us would be on this path in the way that we are. This is a tremendous time in the world. And as God once told me, this is your time on the stage. There's no other time. Now is the time to do this. Not some other time. There's some part of the mind, and it's a delusory part of the mind. It always wants to put it off. Well, I'll intensify my sadhana later. I'll do it later. I'll defer it. Just that's not your friend. That thought is not your friend. This is the time. Who knows when God will take that life right out of you? And then where will you be? Will you be sorry? Nobody else will judge you. You will judge yourself. You will judge yourself. And so you don't have to go anywhere to find out how you're doing, whether you're on track or not. You know that deep within yourself if you're really honest with yourself. You know whether you're making spiritual effort or not. You know whether you're making progress or not. You make progress when you feel that ever new joy growing inside of you, when you feel that peace, when you feel that presence of God, when you can lay yourself, your whole life, at the feet of the masters and surrender it and give it to them and examine your life from that perspective. Now, all the masters ask us to do, all Mother ever asks us to do, is to keep our minds on God. Keep our minds on God. Chant to God. Love God. Serve God. Learn to discriminate between that which lifts you up and that which takes you further away from God. Mother went through everything that we have to go through in our sadhana, and in many ways, much, much more. She had to make decisions in her life. Her own father, who was half Native American, half Iroquois, and he said about Master, he says, you'd follow that old Indian anywhere. You see, that's tough, huh? When your own parents, she was a young woman at the time. That's tough when they come at you like that. What other people think about you. That she was cut off from the roots of brother and sister disciples of Master, And when she went to India, not only was she written a letter and told she is no longer part of the organization, but that all the people who were part of the center in Seattle were no longer part of the organization. They were cut off because they were connected with Mother, I guess. I don't know what their reasoning was around it, but I've seen the letter. And so this is not the way that spiritual brothers and sisters should be with each other. Remember what Sri Yukteswar said to Master when they first met. If you find that I have wandered from the path of God knowledge, God realization, then put my head on your lap and gently take me back to the infinite. We have a commitment to each other. If God prompts us to, we can say something to another devotee. If we think that they've gone off the path, it's not necessarily our job to do. But each one of us are connected to the other. We're all connected in that sense. And it's not that you go around telling other people what to do, but there may be times when you are prompted to do so, and to be unafraid to do so. And if you're wrong, then make a willing admission that you've overstepped the mark or that you're wrong in some way. But God is within you. God needs to manifest his light in this world. As Jesus says, you don't light a candle and then hide it under a bushel or under a table. You put it on top of the table. You put it up on a hilltop. And you let it shine. And you let it be a beacon to those who are lost in the darkness and who are looking for some direction. Now, you don't even have to say anything to anybody. Just be. Just be who you are in God. Just let that light shine from you. But be unafraid in letting that light shine. Mother used to say that she would never force herself on anybody, but if they opened the door at all, she was all there. And in her mind, this world was filled with suffering and darkness. She sought. She was lifted up at one point, and she knew that she could leave this body, that she had accomplished, in the sense of realization, everything that she had come to do. But she thought about this world. She thought about the suffering in this world. She thought about the people who were in delusion, and how greatly she felt God inside of her, and how much she wished for everyone in this world to feel God, to feel the bliss, to feel the light, to feel that sure guidance. And so she had no choice in her own mind but to come back into body consciousness and to be a beacon, to be that light upon the hill, so that all may know that God is life and life is God, and discover this reality and this fact, even as she had within her own being. There's just so much in my heart that I would like to be able to expand upon the glories of Mother, and yet I feel like in so many ways that words are inadequate to do so. I've talked about the one experience before, but when Mother lifted me up and she showed me her light body, and it was at a time when her physical body was going through such great suffering and disfigurement, and I saw her in her light body, and she was beautiful, and that light extended in every direction as far as the eye could see. And she told me, don't you know that I'm in my light body? And it took away all my grieving for her physical body. Not that I didn't have compassion for the suffering she's going through, but I saw truly that who she was in God. Mataji used to say with Papa, all you people come here and you just see Papa and he's telling stories and you're laughing and you just see him as a regular person, an ordinary fellow. You have no idea who he is. And I will say that of Mother. that who she is in God is so tremendous, so beyond description. Sri Yukteswar once said about Babaji that he was beyond human conception. And I would say the same of Mother, that unless you're granted a spiritual vision of her, even as I had been in that moment, that you cannot comprehend the spiritual star that she represents, the light of being, that she is beyond any of our concepts, because the mind just simply can't stretch that far, can't go that far. But if we tune ourselves to her, if we focus our attention upon her, then her grace will lift us up and we will know her as she truly is in God. And that she can come to us in a very human way, very ordinary kind of way. And she can also come to us in transcendent ways, because she is everything. You see, sometimes we think, well, if you attain God realization, you can no longer be a human being. You can never longer think about ordinary kinds of things, but that's not the case. She demonstrated it day after day, being totally in the universal divine consciousness, and at the same time, she did very ordinary kinds of things. She used to re-watch All My Children, a soap opera. And one devotee said, well, I just hope that I'm not required as a devotee to have to watch that soap opera. He wasn't too thrilled about that, too keen on it. And of course, Mother required no one, but she would talk about it sometimes. You see, she could be so human in that sense. And she always said, I am totally human and divine. That she enjoyed good food. She enjoyed dressing up and looking nice. See, sometimes we think, well, that doesn't go with God realization. But she felt that the beauty that is within you should be expressed in how you present yourself to this world. So she brought a complete and total package. A total package completely balanced the human and the divine. The human is the expression of the divine. When you have realized God within, it's no longer the dictator. It's no longer that which forces you to do everything it wants to do. Rather, it is your slave. It is God's slave. But that you don't have to be an antithesis to this world. That this world itself has become God. Always was God, but now you realize that it is God. So in these words, I hope to express to you some of which I feel, what I see, what I know of our divine guru. And that it is with all of my heart that I wish that we be lifted up into divine consciousness, even as Mother was. And not to sell yourself short, not to sell your life short, but to realize all that she realized. That is her greatest wish and her greatest desire, would be that all would experience God realization even as she experienced it. As Master said, I cannot give you, you cannot have Yogananda realization. I killed that fellow long ago. You can have your own God realization, but it's the same God. It's the same bliss. It's the same light. It's just it'll be expressed through you, through your own individuality. Because that is God's great delight, is to express himself through the multiplicity of creation. And he loves that. He loves you. He loves expressing himself through you, just as you are, if you will let him. And keep your mind totally and completely focused upon him. He will do everything that is required to take you into his arms and to lift you up into his kingdom and to show you who you truly are in that divine kingdom. We sing the words Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Victory to God, victory to God. And Jai Guru, victory to Guru. Let it be so. Now if you'll pray with me, O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet and surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with Thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. To the light within you.